are listening to The Bradshaw Boys, a podcast where three relatively grown men binge the iconic HBO series Sex and the City. So dust off those DVDs and grab yourself a white wine or even a Cosmopolitan and settle in. Take it away, boys.
Welcome to the Bradshaw Boys, a podcast where three guys talk their way and watch their way and walk their way and love their way through Sex and the City for the first time ever, mostly. I'm Corey Cavan.
I'm Kevin James Doyle.
And I am obviously Nick Lachey. We also smell our way, taste our way. I'm John Sieber.
We touch our way through it sometimes. Touch. Not right now because we're recording over Zoom, but we, at one point, we touched our way through it.
Oh no. Come on, Kevin.
We sneeze our way. Our way through it.
Jeez Louise.
That was a sneeze, not a cough, though.
What's going on? It's good to see some familiar faces here. Oh man, this makes me happy.
There's usually like FFs? A break.
Yeah.
We usually have a break between work and the podcast, but it was just like, literally sent my last email, hopped on the Zoom with you. So this doesn't, in a good way, this doesn't feel like pleasure. This feels like work right now. Like we're just, this is part of the work day.
This is your job now.
This is our
this is your job now. Yeah.
Yeah. This is
what
our job.
Where is that from?
It's 1:30 in the afternoon job? And this is your job. Punch the time clock. Let's talk about Steve. Here we go.
I would love it if somehow, if our job, it was like, hey, we have an 8 a.m. call time. We're doing 6 episodes of the Bradshaw Boys today. I'd be so stoked. I would love that. It'd be great. It'd be like, hey, we're doing from 8 to 7 today. We're going to bang through half of season 4 again. That's what you got to do.
Yeah. Nothing but Steve talk for 8 hours today.
Yeah.
Listen.
It'd be great. Voice would be so raspy.
Since I haven't really talked to either of you about it, I feel like I haven't purchased a single thing in all of quarantine besides sustenance food. And this weekend I went a little insane and I bought a motorcycle. And I feel like we should just now that I don't have it yet, I have to get it from New Jersey. I test rode it on Saturday, but I feel like it's like an episode of Sex and the City. Just a guy who buys a motorcycle. Which boyfriend would buy the motorcycle?
Listen, the reason that we have the mostly in the title of this is that we've all, not all of us, but John and I have peeked ahead. I know of a boyfriend that has a motorcycle.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, Burger does.
Oh, Burger has a motorcycle.
Burger's got a bike.
Oh,
Burger's
yeah.
Burger's got a bike.
Oh, dude, yeah. Your burger. Taste
dude.
It.
And
you're Flame Broiled Doyle. Flame Broiled Doyle, the burger.
And I always have just some snappy, witty banter back and forth. And whenever my ex-girlfriend leaves a message on my voicemail, I just give my cell phone the finger.
Fuck you! You just give a double bird.
That's actually true. I've seen it.
Uh-huh.
She did message me just the other day. She was like, "Do you want to get you want to get a quarantine coffee?" I was like, "I hadn't talked to her for like a year." I was like, "What?" I was like, "I will, but let me get my motorcycle first."
Yeah, let me roll in on my steed. No, I was so Kevin and I went for a very long walk this weekend.
25,000 steps.
We did a 25,000 step social distance walk down to
How many miles is that?
I don't know.
25,000 steps is like 7 or 8 miles.
Yeah, it was a long walk.
It was easily that.
And we walked down to Red Hook, and we were down near the water. And I introduced Kevin to something New York that he's never had before, and that is Steve's Key Lime Pie in Red Hook.
Oh, yeah.
We got a swingle.
I was in Red Hook this weekend.
What?
I was in Red Hook, I think, Saturday afternoon.
He was there the same time we were there.
That's crazy.
And
that's wild. We were eating them by...
John got me some Steve's Pie.
I got
it's Steve Pie.
We were eating our swingles, and the line by Steve's was pretty crowded. So we stepped towards that motorcycle repair shop that's there, who's actually owned by a friend. It's owned by a friend named Los. So shout out to Los, Carlos. And
Los.
I literally watched Kevin's face go from zero to motorcycle. He was just looking at this motorcycle, and it was like a really cool old Honda. And he's just like, I'm going to buy a motorcycle. I'm going to be a motorcycle guy. Do you have a license? No. Have you ever ridden one? No. Not going to stop him. Very next day, bought a motorcycle.
Look at that.
I was impressed. Did I bring it up to you when I was there?
Yeah, you said, I'm going to buy a motorcycle.
That's funny because I feel like there was a point that I joked about it, and then I don't know at what point it became real, because then all of a sudden, 21 hours later, after I said that, like, I spent the whole night researching and everything, and 21 hours later, I was driving out to New Jersey with my friend to look at one with $2,000 in my pocket.
Wow.
Yeah, because we texted my cousin, and you're like, I was like, Kevin wants to buy a motorcycle. What should he get?
That's awesome. So funny.
That's amazing.
And it's the exact same looking one as the one that I saw. It's an old Honda. It's a 1976 Honda.
Yeah.
Those are great. My dad had one of those when I was a little kid. It was like a mid-70s Honda motorcycle. Yeah.
We have to look at any scene that Berger has with the motorcycle, and I'll reenact it.
Dude, we're going to be in the Hamptons this summer. That's where you first see his motorcycle. We'll call Dan Clay. I'll do my best Gary Dragshaw impression, and we can recreate a scene from that episode.
That is so going to happen.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Hey, wait. Do you guys hear? I wonder if you can hear. It's 7 o'clock.
Oh, it's happening. I've been hearing it. Yeah. You might've been hearing it on the podcast, but it's the 7 PM chimes. I've been hearing it. They started at 6:59 in Carroll Gardens today. They went a little bit early because they were so excited.
I'll clap for the
let's clap it up.
Medical workers.
Clap it up right now. Hey, if you're listening, clap it up.
Stop what you're doing.
If you're shout not, out. Yeah, right here.
Shout out to the medical professionals.
Shout out to Meg Daly.
This one's for you.
Yeah.
Thank you for what you do. Kevin, you got a little active on the Instagram today, and some new things have developed. Some new nicknames.
Some
good conversations were had, and I'd love to chat about that a little bit before we watch our episode.
Well, I think it happened because Corey and I were texting with one of our close friends, Megan the Doddler, and we were making some jokes. And then I called Corey Cold Brew. You called yourself Cold Brew Poppy, right?
I don't think I've ever called myself that.
Oh, okay. Well, I called
Maybe
you.
Maybe I did. I'm not sure.
I called you Cold Brew Poppy, which
just for those of you that are listening, as soon as you step foot into Corey's home, he goes, "Welcome to Cold Brew Poppies."
Yeah, that's true. There is a neon sign that says that when you walk in, it turns on and you hear it like the beginning of like a video game. It's like, you just hear the neon sign and then a bunch of tiki music starts. Yeah.
Well,
yeah, nothing but a long beach coverall that just says Cold Brew Poppies.
And like if you go to Costa Rica and they make coffee out of like it's like a sock. It's like a pourver sock. All I'm wearing from the waist down is just a Cold Brew sock as like a banana hammock bikini. That's all I've got on.
Like the Red Hot Chili Peppers at the 1995 Woodstock.
100%. Yeah.
Well, I was just like, I was like, I hadn't posted much the past week. Because
you're busy buying a motorcycle.
I was busy buying a motorcycle.
You're busy going full burger.
Yeah.
Writing a novel, flicking off your phone.
Got some post-it notes that I picked up my Pulitzer. and then I put one about the episode with Tony Hale that came out. And then I was like, I just need to throw up one. And someone asked us kind of who our favorite character is so far. If we're still like Steve heads, because there's an article in Vogue that said Steve's the only marryable character. And I was like, I think we're like pretty hardcore into Harry right now, and we're all in agreement. And I said, I was in like a weird mood. I was in like a goofy mood, and I made some Hebrew joke. And then I called him the cream cheese poppy, and I was just like, that's it. That's his new name.
Absolutely.
John, do you know what that's from? Corey knows what it's from. It's because Drake.
This is Champagne Poppy.
Champagne Poppy.
Cream Cheese Poppy. Evan Handler. He's
there.
And so, I feel like we should make some merch. Cream Cheese Poppy merch. with like, we just like a little crown to the side, kind of like the Notorious B.I.G.
We should do for quarantine. We should make face masks, Bradshaw Boys face masks that are cream cheese poppy, but on the side of the side of your face, there's just a little daub of cream cheese.
Dude,
it's a little thing that would be, and you have the face mask is a picture of a mouth with just cream cheese smeared on the
Except
side of the mouth.
The face mask is also a flesh colored swimmer's cap. So it just turns, and then it has a drape of back hair that goes down your back.
It's basically like you're wearing a full cape that starts at your chin, wraps over your head, and goes down your back.
And it's just called a cream cheese poppy. I love it.
It's like when it's like when a little kid puts on a hooded sweatshirt, but he like puts the hood over his face and then doesn't put his arms through it, just wears it like a cape. It's
absolutely.
That.
We have to 100%. Do that.
Yeah.
Super into that.
And we should do like a rematch of Just Hold On, We're Going Home, the Drake song. But it's just like, I've got some cheese on you. It's right beside my mouth. I'm not gonna wipe it off. I don't know. We gotta work on that. Corey, you're better at musical
parodies.
Yeah,
I'll have to get in on that.
Corey's more fully trained in improv. I'm more of a stand-up philosophical. You know, really, I can't think. Yeah, that's me improvising right there.
You just got to give me
cold brew poppy.
You know, he's the cold brew poppy.
You just got to give me a suggestion, and then I got to get real wacky in front of an audience. That's what I got to do.
Corey has Converse All Stars on right now.
Yeah, I have. I 100% have on an untucked button up Oxford and a tie that's just barely loosened right here, and bootcut jeans and Converse on. Totally.
Let's do some improv right now. Hold on.
Okay. Let's get a suggestion.
Go ahead. Can we get a suggestion of just a character from Sex and the City? Anyone at all?
Sure.
Ooh,
anyone
ooh,
at all?
Ooh, ooh.
Yes.
Ooh,
yes. You. Yes. Yeah. You, sir.
I would like to suggest Shmuel.
Shmuel.
That's great. That's great.
Okay. All right.
Cool.
Here we go.
Hey. It's great to be. It's great to be at this art gallery.
Oh, thank you for coming to this art gallery.
Nice. That's great.
Do you know what's worse than watching your friend's improv team?
What?
What's that?
Watching your friend's improv over Zoom.
Yeah.
I've just agreed.
Yes. And yes.
Now here's the funny thing about that. I wasn't Shmuel.
You were Dracula.
I was Dracula.
No, you were 100%. More old school. You were Nosferatu, I think.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
But would you say that he's our number one right now, Harry G?
Yeah, I would think so. Yeah, totally.
Yeah, I don't know if Smith Jared's going to overtake him for me because guys have a thing. Girls have never expressed it, but they have a thing with their own gender. But it's like, there's no way that no matter how nice Smith Jared's going to be, I'm like, I don't know, you're too good looking for me to totally love you.
Yeah, there's a little bit of, I think you need like a way in with people to like relate. And there's kind of a deal where I'm like, I feel like maybe you could relate. I mean, John, like you've been more of a gym dude than Kevin and I. Maybe you could relate with Smith Jared about, you know, his workout reg or something like that. But
my body certainly looks a lot like Smith Jared's.
It's true.
It's very, very similar. You should see me in some tighty whities. I have a rippling six pack.
For those of you who aren't watching the Zoom right now and you're just listening to this as a podcast, John is ripped.
I'm completely topless with cooking oil all dripping down my body.
Yep.
It's great.
Came through dripping.
And he's sitting on his chair the same way that one sex position, the power drill.
He's sitting like Texas oil drill.
Yeah. Hey,
all right.
We also said if someone had ever did that position to write in, no one wrote in because no one did it.
No one
wrote in because no one's done it. Or
dude, Daniel Day-Lewis doesn't listen. That's why.
I'm an oil man.
we need to do a Smith Jared DDL mix up there.
Oh my gosh.
What episode are we watching today?
We're on season 6, episode 4.
The end is nigh.
I know.
Season 6, episode 4. Pick a little talk a little.
You guys said that you know what this is a reference to.
Yeah, it's a song. What is it? It's a song from Music Man. What is it? Is it go by the same name? Pick a Little, Talk a Little. Right? Pick a Little, Talk a Little. It's a song from Music Man.
Pick a little and talk a little. I want to pick. I want to talk. Let's each do a little. We'll pick a little. You'll talk a little. Shut up. No, you said I could talk a little. So I'll just pick a little and then you talk a little. And that's it goes like that for 2 hours. I've never seen the Music Man, but I think that's what happened.
You nailed it.
I nailed it. Pick a little more. Pick a little, talk a little. Pick a little, talk a little. Cheek, cheek, cheek. Talk a lot. Pick a little more. Pick a little, talk a little. Pick a little, talk a little. Cheek, cheek, cheek. I mean,
Kurt, you were close.
Can't say I was very far off. Yeah.
All right, let's watch the episode and we'll come back and we'll talk a little. We'll chat a little.
All right.
We'll pick a little.
We'll watch a little, chat a little.
Bye.
Bye.
Episode 78. Pick a little, talk a little. Carrie feels bad for criticizing a minor point in Berger's book. When Berger teaches Miranda how to tell that a guy is just not that into her, she feels the need to spread the word to other women. Charlotte cooks her first Shabbat dinner for Harry. Samantha and Smith Jared act out all their sexual fantasies. And now, back to the boys.
Iconic episode.
Oh man, super iconic episode.
Yeah, so much. Very iconic episode.
So much to talk about.
Not only, there's a lot of storylines, but there was even two or three different GIFs or big time pictures like that I've seen on Instagram that I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
We'll get into it, but just the picture of Miranda, one of her like leaning in is when she's saying he's just not that into mm-hmm. you. And saw that all the time without even seeing like what she was saying.
Dude, that was such a perfect, when you were watching that, I was like, I wonder how the women are going to respond. I wonder if it's going to be like a moment of enlightenment for them. And I love immediately as she turned around, they're just like, you bitch. And I'm like, yeah, that's my New York. There we go. Yeah. There we go. Completely.
Fuck you.
That was great.
Fuck you. All right, John, why don't you break it fucking down for us, bro?
All right. We'll get into opinions later. We'll stick with the facts.
Stop editorializing, man. Just give us the plot.
Sorry, man. Hey, ticker tape. Here we come. Pick a little, talk a little. this episode was about nitpicking. Specifically, Carrie said, when does criticism that's constructive become destructive? Are there times when ladies should just shut the fuck up?
Whoa.
Perfect episode for three men to talk about.
All right, yeah, perfect. The answer is yes. Hey, go ahead and review us on iTunes.
and we're here with our guest, Bill Burr. Samantha's storyline was Jerry Jarrett's fantasy relationship. She had no interest in learning anything about him. She just was involved in his fantasy world. Miranda's relationship is her hearing the advice, he's just not that into you, and really processing that and becoming the he's just not that into you prophet and spreading the love of it around the city. And then, of course, it backfires when the guy that is into her just has diarrhea. We have Charlotte's storyline. She is preparing for the first Shabbos, and she is assuming that they're going to get married and really rides Harry to set a wedding date. And heartbreaking outcome as she says, do you know what people think out there? Do you know what they think when they see us together? And he says, I know what people think, but I didn't know you thought it too. And gets out of there, goes and watches the Mets. And lastly, Carrie nitpicks Berger's book, specifically about how inaccurate it is that a woman would wear scrunchie in New York. Not in 2019. Scrunchies made a comeback. Holy cow.
Yeah.
And he kind of shuts down and emotionally has difficulty dealing with the fact that his book is a big fat fucking failure. And lots to unpack in this episode. Specifically, are there times when ladies should just shut the fuck up? As Carrie asks. Kevin, why don't you go ahead and step on this landmine?
Go for it, Kevin.
I mean, What was the line she said before that? She said, like, men.
When does criticism that's constructive become destructive?
I think the premise of the episode, that she said something about how, like, women are more prone towards criticism. Was that what it was?
I think she said women are more verbal by nature.
Verbal by nature. Yeah. Which, great rap group, Verbal by Nature.
Verbal by Nature.
I was such a big fan of theirs in the 80s.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, oh. Yeah, I mean, the answer is yes, and the answer is can be applied to anybody that is totally critical. I think what's really interesting is what they did is they set up from the beginning, should you just shut up? But the entire episode was, I guess, characterized by people shutting down. Yeah, I don't know. I guess it was interesting. There was two different sides. Like, Samantha kind of shut down where Jared was pushing forward.
Yeah.
Kristen Davis, she was spewing her thoughts. Harry shut down. And then, so I guess it was like, and then the guy, he was the one that shut down. I don't know. I guess, like, I could go either way. And I know tons of different relationships that you could go either side. The guy is the talker and loves to hear his voice and doesn't shut up, or the woman. But I feel like this episode was surprised me with it, how it was more about shutting down emotionally than it was about spewing opinions or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How'd I do with that landmine?
You did great.
I think you walked around it.
Let's start with Samantha and Jerry Jarrett. By the way, yeah. Jerry, did anyone see Jerry Jarrett come? I didn't.
Jerry Jarrett?
Yeah.
I didn't see that coming because now we also have Brady Jarrett.
I want to know when the Smith comes in. When does the Smith come in?
Maybe they go eat dinner at the Smith, the restaurant, the Smith.
Maybe, but she called him Agent Smith a couple times. Didn't she?
Yeah.
I think she called him. I wrote down all the names, all the fantasy names that she had. Yeah, she calls him Auditor Smith, Dr. Smith, Detective Smith, Agent Smith. So I wonder where.
Maybe it's just that. Maybe they call him Smith Jared. Maybe there's a thing in the future that where they break down, because maybe that's just his secret name that she does so she's not close to him.
Interesting.
Because he's like, because the end is he says the real name. So that's becoming emotionally closer, opening up.
So was her issue with him that he... I don't get her nitpicking issue with him. I liked their storyline and it was great to see her like enjoy the date with Jerry Jarrett, but I don't really understand what her like nitpicking criticism was. Was his criticism that she just like emotionally shut down and didn't want to get to know the real him?
I think, his nitpicking criticism against her or hers against him?
Hers against him.
I think hers against him has been the same Samantha thing forever, where she was just like, I just want to have fun and do these like sex role plays. And like, she's like, I'm in charge. I'm like, I think it's anytime anyone tries to get deep with Samantha and bring out something that's like uncomfortable, she shuts it down.
Yeah. That makes sense. Cause I think, sorry, go ahead, Kevin.
Well, that's what I think it was good writing. Like, he broke the rules of the fantasy and, you know, she was like, oh, like, that's a pretty vulnerable thing. It's like, I'm in AA. You know what I mean? And I think that was her being like
a real actor would have just taken the drink.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, sure. It may send you on a path towards destruction, but it's like, stay in fucking character, dude.
That's what I feel like. Yeah, totally.
Which fantasy Smith was your favorite? We had Criminal Smith. We had Dr. Smith, Agent Smith.
I think the IRS auditor, because I think that'd be the scariest. You could really, you know, like a detective, that's sexy. But it's like if the IRS comes, that's scarier than a detective. You know, they're coming after.
I was going to 100% agree with you that, like, I love that she had a sexual fantasy in which she was being audited by the IRS.
Do you feel that she was like kind of not into him and the whole time? And then once she found out that his initials were JJ, she wanted him back because it reminded her of JJ Mitchell. That was like 100%. The hook, you know?
Probably so.
I don't want to spend a ton of time talking about Samantha because there's so much meat to this episode. Let's talk about, let's go to Charlotte. Let's go to Charlotte next and her story with Harry, getting Shabbos ready and then him wanting to just watch some Mets instead of this serious ritual.
Yeah.
Okay. So Charlotte, first of all, iconic scene. She's at Zabar's shopping for Shabbos. She's with Carrie. That's where the gif comes up, Kevin, that you were saying, where Carrie does the wink.
Yeah.
Because like Charlotte's like, I said lean brisket.
Yeah.
And Carrie gives that like winking thing, which is like a huge, and it's like a reaction gif on like every single like texting app and everything like that. But
and it's one of the only Instagram stickers you can put on stories.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Charlotte really leaning into being Jewish now and cooking a full Shabbos dinner, which I also love that they kind of hint at Harry not really like being very supportive of this, but also that he probably only did this like when he was 11 years old and he doesn't do this at all anymore.
Yeah.
Dude, it's just such a, based on the Jewish friends that I have, it's such a good representation of Jewishness, of like completely. The cultural Jewishness that's taken so seriously. And then also just like, yeah, we just, I can't, it's Saturday. Or,
yeah. I think this one's like a little bit on Harry, to be honest. Charlotte, I know she's super gung-ho. I know she is like a steamroller with what she setting her laser focus on something and then just like putting that in her mind and pursuing that. Like she's like, I'm going to be a Jewish housewife. That's what I'm going to do. And she's like an unstoppable force. Mm-hmm. But if Harry can't even like, I feel like he should have interjected at some point and made sure they were on the same level before she committed to doing something as serious as what she decided to do. Like just buying a ring and not talking about it is that is kind of, I related to her a little bit there. I mean, granted she shouldn't have said like, do you know how ridiculous we look when we're in public? I think that was like a blow the belt shot, but I think he could have been more communicative.
Oh my gosh. I just realized what that meant.
Yeah.
Wow.
What does she mean by do you know how ridiculous you look when we're in
public?
She's
way like, more attractive than him.
You're like an ugly bald dude and I'm a beautiful woman. Like
I didn't catch that either.
Yeah, and that's where he's like, I know everyone is thinking that. I just didn't think you did. So like that was definitely give him some ketchup for those harsh browns. But like I still think he should have interjected a little bit earlier and been like, yo, we might not be in the same place, so you might want to pump the brakes in this whole becoming a Jew thing.
Right. But it's weird because it seems like they were in the same place because he bought a ring. So it seems like a communication issue then because he says, and to think, I bought a ring. Right? Didn't he say
that? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So it sounds like they, because like, okay, John, you're the only one of us that is married. Kevin, you were engaged once.
Jewish.
And like we've talked about that and you have been Jewish. But like it seems like most people that I know that are married, there's like a conversation about like, do we want to do this? What if we bought a ring? Like you're going to be surprised when it happens, but like, are we on the same page with this? And this seems like he just went for it. So it seems like they were on the same page of like about being excited about it. They just weren't communicating that it was maybe going to happen or something.
Yeah.
And then if you're on that same page, that is a to take that low shot that she did, that you just told us what that meant. Like, that's kind of a thing where you're like, whoa, what are your priorities in this relationship? Yeah. That is rough.
I have some very strong thoughts about engagements, and I hope I don't paint myself in a bad light, but I don't think engagement should ever be that big of a surprise. Like, I think you should be communicating enough with the person where you are on the same page about this major life thing. Like, yeah. The people that I've talked to that are in really healthy, great relationships, everyone's been like, yeah, asking someone to marry them was one of the easiest decisions they've ever made. It wasn't like a nerve-wracking thing. It wasn't like, I wonder what they're going to say. If there's doubt as to what the person is going to say, that's probably a red flag that you shouldn't be getting engaged. Like, you should know 100% the outcome of what that is going to be because you've talked about it and communicated about it.
I don't know. That's just my thought. I don't know exactly. I think it's like a thing the younger I was, the more I was under the impression that it's more romantic if there's a surprise element to it. And now the older I am, the more I'm just like, that's insane. I don't even know necessarily where that comes from besides marketing.
Seeing it on the Jumbotrons, man. Yeah. And just being like, this is awesome. Well,
and there is like an element of surprise in the actual act sometimes. Like was there an element of surprise in your engagement, John?
Totally. Like we had talked about it. We had looked at rings together because another reason why is like the ring was a decent sized investment. And I had like asked her friends who had asked her, and I was on the complete wrong path as to what she wanted. If I would have listened to like what her friends thought she wanted and like bought a ring like that, it would have not been anything like what she actually wanted. Mm-hmm. We found out what she wanted when we went and we looked on rings and tried them on and was like, oh, this is the style that you want. And so
what season of the year did you get engaged?
It was in the fall.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then you got married, what, 2 years later?
We were engaged for 2 years, yeah.
Yeah. I definitely think it's a communication thing. And as far as Harry goes, I think this was one, I guess if there was the only example in this episode of sometimes a woman just needs to shut the fuck up, in this case was Charlotte.
And Miranda.
Yes, but Miranda was taking a pretty well-informed swing and a miss and was like, oh, diarrhea. Okay.
We can get to it, but that was such a Miranda thing that's happened before. That was like Ted the Spanking Guy video territory for her again, too.
Yeah.
Hey, no, I'm open. We can talk about it. And the guy's like, just hang on a second.
I think it was completely okay for Charlotte to be like, set the date. Also, like, I even think the fact, like, turn off the TV. I prepared this great meal for you. I don't care how big of a Mets game it is. I am taking this seriously because you said it was something that it was a non-negotiable for you. So I'm negotiating with that now. The point where she crossed the line was when she just said, like, do you know what other people think?
You know, the thing that sucks about that, too, is, you know, when you, like, you spend a lot of time, like, being careful, like, really, she knows that's a positive. She's like, I am attracted to him. This is the best sex in my life. There is all of these positive elements where
he's the cream cheese poppy.
He's a cream cheese poppy. I mean, he's just put some scallions on my everything. the cream cheese poppy is here. But when you say something like that, it doesn't matter. Like, it's going to take a lot of time to repair the fact that that came out of her mouth in a way that, like, when they're, let's say the series is over in like in 10 years or something like that, like he has a surgery or something, or they're not sleeping together, or like something like that actually could be that little tear that, like, they continue to have to be like, you don't even think I'm attractive, you know? Like,
Oh yeah.
And that's what is really. That's what's really sad. And even if she wouldn't have said that, she still was in a way that it was like, you know, if you phrase this a little different, if you come at it with like a little different angle, you're going to be able to have that cool conversation that it's like, babe, I got a ring. I just really like baseball. But instead, it was like that aggressive.
Yeah,
I don't know.
But,
she just
but
said.
I think the reason that it hurts so much is because, and this is incredibly relevant in today's day and age, is that when someone says something out of anger that's hurtful, it's usually not just them slipping up and saying something on accent. It usually has to do with how they feel.
Corey just sneezed.
It has to do with how they actually feel. And that is like how their true feelings are bubbling out in that moment.
Why did you say in this time? Why is it more relevant now than in other times?
Well, two days ago, the event that happened in Central Park where the woman, you know, was with her dog and the guy was bird watching. She said those racist things, and her apology was that was an accident. I'm so like, I didn't mean them. And I think the conversation should be, yes, you did mean them, because yes, that's how you feel. And instead of saying just like, I'm sorry, it was an accident, be like, the ugly truth is that I do harbor those feelings, and I do have those feelings, and I want to figure out how to repair those.
The ugly truth, Mel Gibson, is that you've hated Jewish people for a long time.
Ugly truth, Charlotte, is that you do think you're more attractive than Harry, and you, even though it's great sex, you think about that, and let's break that down. But
so what, I mean, we know what happens eventually, but we don't know how they get there. But what do you do if you are Charlotte? Do you just have to deal with the fact that you're like, I do think that, and now I need to figure out why I like this person, or if I even do like this person, or is it just that I just want to get married? I guess, do you have to just sit with your feelings then?
I think the thing I find interesting about that, Corey, is that,
yes,
is that based on what she said, I think it goes down to the actual insecurity that someone like Charlotte could have, which is, how do we look to other people? It's not enough that you're in love with this person. It's not enough that they fuck you perfectly. It's not enough that he is caring and considerate and fights for you, got your part, like all of these things. And then what comes out is like, how do we look? That's kind of crazy, because that's her insecurity, and that's what she's based her identity and her life on. And it has nothing to do with Harry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I also think the very important takeaway from this is you should never change a significant portion of yourself for anyone else. I think the fact that she did this she became Jewish for him is going to cause tension in the relationship. If she did it for herself, that's a different story, but she so clearly did this for him.
And
we've seen that being a bit of a problem with like Carrie stopped quitting smoking for Aiden. Now Charlotte doing this for Harry. Like, if you are going to change, like, never change something about yourself for someone else.
That's true. And then if you do, there's just a certain, it's kind of good they had this blow up now. We know the ending, I guess, so it's different. But it's like, it's good they had this blow up now, because now she has an opportunity to do this for herself. Now she has an opportunity to choose that person rather than be like, hold that over his head, the you know, Jewish thing his whole life. He has an opportunity to next episode just come in with like the thickest plugs of all time and just like have... Just full.
You know, there's a part of me that could relate to Harry. Don't think that every time Katie and I step outside of this house, I'm not imagining people. You know, I look like Sasquatch. I get it. I'm like some 7 foot tall hairy monster walking around with some pretty lady. Like, I know what people are thinking. Luckily, she doesn't remind me of that.
Also, Katie got super into World of Warcraft for you. She changed her character avatar. She was like not into it at all. She totally flipped her life around.
I have a joke when I joke about that the Moroccan lady I went on the date with on the sidewalk in the West Village. I had a joke where all the people would walk by and they would like look at her and look at me and they're like, "What fucking app did that dude just invent?" But it was like wish I could take pictures of the people as they walk by, just being the quick like. okay, what's going on here?
This is when you went out with a literal Moroccan princess, right?
Yeah.
I bet that they were just like, it's really nice that this lady went out with her landlord's son for dinner. Like, she's trying to get some sort of clause in her lease.
My favorite joke of yours from that entire date is when you were talking about you never really understand how flimsy your Chase card is until it's sitting underneath a Visa Black card.
Yeah. Royal Blue.
Yeah.
I think that I'm excited for them. This is the first crack in their armor. Any good relationship has to weather a storm, and this is their first opportunity to weather that together and to choose one another rather than just be like, he was my lawyer and like then we fucked and then it was this and then and now we're married. Like, this is their first chance to be like, all right, life isn't easy.
Yeah.
And do we love one another?
I think we could spend an entire podcast talking about that scene in particular, but I want to quickly talk about Miranda and the he's just not that into you craze.
Well, it's interesting too, because this like kind of dovetails just into Burger too, because it comes from Burger. But like, so it's the thing, like Burger says it when they're at dinner or when he's out with Carrie and her friends. And it was interesting because everyone was like, she was like, Burger, don't say that to her. And then Miranda found it to be the most liberating thing. Yeah. Also, we know this from Jen Kirkman, who's been on the podcast. That was from a guy who was a comedian.
Greg Barrett,
who was a writer on the show. And that was like his book, right? His book.
I think he wrote the book after Sex in the City.
Okay. But yeah, it's interesting.
It looks like it became a movie too, a film.
We got to watch the movie.
Absolutely.
Okay.
I don't know, guys. I'm just not that into it. But it's, yeah, okay. So Miranda latches onto it. I think it's such an interesting Miranda thing where I don't know if it shows her, like her as an intellectual or like something that like gets into her brain or something, but she finds that to be the most like liberating thing.
Yeah.
Like she's like, oh, this is great. That's amazing. Cool. Now I'm free of this. I can go to the next person. And like, it's interesting because it's almost like an ego release. She's like, cool. It's not about me. Great. I can just move on.
Yeah. It's interesting. Someone as analytical and logical as Miranda would not have thought about that before, but it also makes sense why if she had never thought about that, like this is like a complete separation from emotion. It's, you know, it's just like straight up. This makes sense. This clicks. This is like how I've already lived my life in so many arenas. And now I can apply it to relationships too. And that's going to save me a lot of time and emotional investment.
Totally.
One of the things that was striking about when they said it is realizing that that started there and to realize like the water cooler conversations that must have sparked, because it still rings so true. It rings more true now than ever when people like, but everything's always the same. Nothing new under the sun. It's from the Bible. Read it. It's Old Testament. Harry gets it. So, but he's just not that into still rings like such like a thing. Like when people are on Tinder or online dating or first date or this of being like, I don't know, like we were vibing for a day and like we had this really cool chat and he set it up and then he's rescheduled. Like it's just, he's not that into you. Done. I think about it with girls all the time that I'm just like, anytime you like get your hopes, like it just becomes so obvious when you just play by those rules. And usually I think people maybe now are a little more trained in a good way, but also because people are flakier than ever at just being like, hey, what's the deal with this? Rather than, I think people are more trained to know he's just not that into you, that spirit of that, and throw it out and see where it goes and then move on to the next thing.
Yeah. Is it, has that like that, I guess, so for lack of a better word, barometer of like how a person is into another person been changed, do you think, since the advent of online dating? Or
I feel like it's probably, I don't know if gotten worse is the right way to say it, but like, I think I was talking to some girl and she was saying, I was talking to a really good friend of mine who had just started online dating. Like way later, like she was like, had never done it when it came out. And she was like, okay, cool, I'm going to do it now. And it was way after it started. And she was like, my view of it for guys is that it's just, it's endless prospects. Mm. So people are more disposable with it. You could just go through and swipe. And I will say, like, in a city like New York, I think that they say that there's more women than men here. I think that was at least a statistic a while ago.
Yeah, I think it's true.
But I think that it's probably online dating has made it like feel more disposable, because you can, I mean, there were like articles about that when Twitter came out, where they were just like, I mean, not Twitter, when Tinder came out, that it was just like, oh yeah, there's like no one really has to commit, you know?
And now there's actually, it's kind of like adjusted in a good way to be like, there's places you can go that you can commit. You know, like if you're on match.com, you're not just like, I don't know, I'm just like trying to like, you want to hook up? Like there now are different places that's the same as different bars of like, this bar is
so interesting.
You know what part of that is though? It's because you have to pay for those other services too.
Yeah.
That is so
like Match,
interesting.
I don't think I don't know if there's a free version of Match.
I don't know.
I think you pay for
so
all
there's,
of them.
There's literally like tiers, like Match.com is like, I want to settle down, and then
eHarmony, like you have to, I mean, like they've had some flack in the past, but like you have to take this big questionnaire and then you have to
they dipped down real hard when Tinder came out, and then there was like, and then now people kind of know like the lowest barrier of entry is something like Tinder, and they're trying to fix that. They have that in certain ways, but like when Hinge got really big, Hinge, their whole thing was like the app that's meant to be deleted, and they would brag. And then there was other ones that were like Tinder ads that you could tell were just like, want to have some fun? Like, try it out. They were already marketing towards like, as long as we have users, here's where you just meet randos and have fun. Here's where it's like, put some fucking work in. And they would brag about their users. Like, our users get into relationships, you know?
Yeah. That's very interesting. I never thought about that.
Yeah.
John, get on an app. Just get on an app and try it out.
Hey, Katie, I'm gonna start hop on some dating apps. Is that cool? Nope.
Looking for a third. No, I'll be your third.
let's talk about Hurricane Pandora.
Hurricane Pandora.
I get that the scrunchie is super relevant in the series. I wasn't like. I feel like it was such obvious miscommunication that it was like not what I expect for the writing in Sex and the City to be.
My thing of that, like,
just because Berger is such that big of a baby that like it almost seemed unrealistic for the show.
Berger's definitely got some, I think the biggest thing I got from this that maybe because we know how it ends, you know, we know that they don't stay together, but there were just so many uncomfortable, like when he, even when he was like reaching across to eat her dessert, like there were so many uncomfortable, like wounded guy moments there. And, you know, it's just, there's just so many things where it's like, dude, it just, I get that if you have to have a hard talk, but even when she like brought him in at the end, maybe it's because we know what happens, but when she was like, stop it, I want to talk to you now. Yeah. As they went in, I was like, oh no, this seems like it's fixed, but it's not. It's just worse now.
It was so much different. It was so much different than even they haven't got back together yet. It ended more negatively, but I was like, you can already see the good conversation that Harry and like they hit rock bottom and they can come back and talk about it. They didn't even actually get down to the bottom. They kind of scraped it, but they didn't get into the feelings. He's like, you hurt my feelings. She's like, oh my gosh, I'm sorry. And they moved on, but he's still, they didn't bottom out. They just kind of band-aid.
I think it's because Carrie actually liked his book. Like she was actually a fan of it. So every nice thing she was saying about that, he perceived that as a dagger, but she was just like trying to be nice about it.
Granted, which I think like shows a lot of his insecurity.
Totally. Like
it's just his like woundedness and insecurity.
He could have been like, Carrie, I'm really insecure about the book. It didn't get, wasn't super well received, and like these things make me feel like you're just like putting hot air up my ass, mm-hmm. and that really sucks for me. But
and Samantha's like, hot air. Ooh. I'll take some.
It's someone. I'll role play as a hot air balloon. Mm.
Put it right
Smith
up my tush,
the basket.
Babe.
Smith Bellows, come in here. but like, yeah, I just think he was so poor at communicating that I was like, whoa, bro, this is tough to watch.
Yeah, it was. I would love to have someone talk to us about why the scrunchie scene was even bigger. Like I've heard people talk about a few things, and one has been the episode Splat, which we haven't gotten to yet. Another is scrunchie. And I get that it was big. I also feel like as someone from the South, when you see cartoonishly Southern people played, for some reason, the Macon, Georgia thing like really worked. I was like, that's great. That's amazing. That's awesome. But I do feel like there's something about the scrunchie thing where it's like, I think it showed a thing in their dynamic, but I want someone to be like, this is why scrunchie is even bigger than you think.
Yeah.
I think the reason for that was that it was her commenting on fashion and the show taking a stance on what fashion is. Mm, and that's I'm sure it stirred a discussion of like, oh shit, New Yorkers don't wear that. Like they said it a bunch, and it did set a bomb off in the relationship, but then right. even more so for a show that's so based around fashion, that was a pretty big what is actually cool debate. That
yeah,
you know, imagine if you're like right in the middle, like you're like, I'm like, if you're watching HBO and you were like, oh, I wear scrunchie, like after that you'd be like, nope, not anymore.
Could you imagine being like a board member in a company that makes scrunchies on a Monday after that comes out on a Sunday night? And you're just like, well, fuck. We are doomed. We're done. And then your stock just free falls.
And they're just like, hey, just keep doing our thing. Don't make any noise. And Tumblr is going to come out in about 15 years. And all of a sudden the 90s are going to come back roaring. And we're going to fucking crush with a bunch of Gen Z.
If you were in the fashion world at the time, you were probably walking on eggshells. Like one episode of Sex and the City could completely make or break your entire bottom line.
Oh yeah. And you know,
nuts.
They're calling to be like, please put like, get us in there. Like say this.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
That's so interesting.
Let's do our ratings.
Okay.
Let's do it.
I got
Cosmo
mine.
Rating. I got mine. Count us down, Kev.
2, 1, 4.5.
Was that the first time we ever?
I said 4.5.
I said four five. Oh
yes!
My gosh.
We did it. We did it.
That's amazing. Four
fucking
thing. Hands down 4.5. Such a great episode. I loved all of it. I could have used a little bit more Samantha storyline, although it was great to see her with Jared. Loved Miranda, like the way the whole episode tied together. The Charlotte Harry scene was emotional. Seeing Berger act like a real bitch dog, like just love that episode. I would end this call and rewatch it again right now.
Yeah, it was a great episode. 4.5 all the way. Samantha could have seen a little more, but also I feel like they got into some great territory with it. And we got some great New York shout outs. We got Zabars, we got the Mets, and just good setup for things that are going to continue on. Super strong all the way around. And Kevin, Miranda was at the Indian restaurants with her dude getting diarrhea right around the corner from the bar we used to host our stand-up show at.
Oh yeah.
They were on 6 and 1st, right by 3 of Cups.
Oh my gosh.
Go, what do you,
those Bombay Rose.
You always go upper right, right? Is that there?
I think it's upper right. I went to the wrong one time. If you ever come to New York, there's 4 Indian restaurants and they try to get you in, and there's like 1 or 2 of them that are good. And the other
I think upper right is the way to go.
I think it's upper right. Yeah.
Yeah. Kev? Yeah, I was 4.5. I felt like we've said it before, but that was just like 4 executions of a theme. I think it like legitimately had, you know, sometimes like something seems like authentically edgy and some, I was like, even for Sex and the City, this like has some like edginess to the story of like, he's just not that into you. And like, should you shut the fuck up? Like, there's these certain things that I'm like, man, this is really, I feel like this could cause a lively discussion if it came out right now. And in such a good way, and not a way that's like, ooh, it was controversial. Like in a way that was like, these are really, really great discussions to have. Great acting all around. I feel like Kristen Davis's acting has just gotten exponentially better. And I think part of that is from her just being in a good storyline and being in love and having like higher stakes than some of her other storylines. So I thought she did some great acting. And then I can totally see what people were saying. Like, I'm not full on Fuckburger train, but I can totally see where it was just like watching him take stabs into that cake. I was just like, oh, bro.
Yeah.
That looked like a delicious dessert too.
Yeah.
Like, you can't be upset eating that delicious dessert.
Yeah.
Out of a nice, probably hot ramekin.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, him,
you can't shut down that
him doing a harsh exact thing that he pointed out earlier. Like, he staked it out to be like, to show her, like, I'm just not that into you right now by doing.
Yeah. Yes.
That was like kind of a low blow. So I just thought it was a freaking great episode. Yeah. Loved it, enjoyed it. It was a 4.5 easy.
Amazing. Well, thank you everyone for tuning in. If you haven't already, please toss us a comment and a rating on iTunes. We always love getting those. Follow us on Instagram. Kevin throws up some really great stories to interact with and polls and whatnot. He does a good job. Kevin, you do a really good job on the Instagram.
Dude, thank you. Everyone that talks to us on that, thank you. It's so great. Also, Kate writes is our most recent review. I don't know if I've said this before, but she just said we got ourselves a little sign off from Kate writes on the
what
review.
What is it? Let's use it tonight. Use it. Take us home, Kevin.
She said perfect community, blah blah blah. She said, P.S. just throwing it out there, but later taters could be a good sign off now that you've officially met the Tate Man.
Oh, I love that.
Kate writes, hey, I want to say thank you for the 5 Cosmo review from Kate writes. And to all of you other listeners out there, later taters.
Later taters.
Later taters.
The Bradshaw Boys stars Corey Cavan, John Sieber, and Kevin James Doyle. The show is produced by Jeremy L. Balin. For more information on the guys, check out their website at bradshawboys.com, on social media at The Bradshaw Boys. And if you see them in the street, tip your glass. Thanks for listening.